This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870 or send us an email at sportstalk@wkar.org. Very glad to be with you this afternoon. Talk a lot of sports. A very good friend of mine will be with us today. John Neal from the Detroit News will be with us today. He's a columnist and he covers some of everything. So we'll talk Lions, Tigers, Michigan State, Michigan football with him today, right here on Sports Talk 870. So just give us a call, talk sports with us. If you have any questions, give us a call, and John will be able to answer it for you. So let's bring in our good friend, John Neal. Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I think you'll be able to handle all these. The Lions kicking off their season, Michigan State game two, Michigan game two, and of course, Tigers got a huge three-game series with the Angels. Of all of those you look at, what do you think is the most significant?
Well, by process of elimination, I'm going to go with the Lions' home opener only because they've only got 16 of those games and they need to get off to the good start, which is always the case in the NFL. But, no, they're honestly, though, they're all big for different reasons. And that, as you mentioned, the Tigers – they not only have a big three-game series, but then they have a big four-game series and a big three-game series. And then the rest of this month is a big series for them because they really – it sure looks like it's going to go down to the wire, whether
it
or not, you know.
You know, and the thing I've been running, just like a lot of fans, and you've probably been wondering the same thing, why are they so inconsistent? Why are these hitters so inconsistent? I mean, that's one area we thought was going to be good. We knew everything else was up for grabs, but the hitting has really been – just radically, you know, good. You know, they had a good series, one series, and they can't hit the next series. I mean, it just drives you crazy.
It's and I wrote it the other day after they swept the White Sox. I said I still think they will win this division, although it's barely a 50-50 proposition at this point. But I said if they do, it's going to be because Delman Young and Brennan Bosch, the guys who maybe the most egregious underachievers, you know, on that team in terms of the hitting this season. It's going to be because those guys, you know, come up with some clutch hits or some big games down the stretch. But really, you said it. I mean, they are helter-skelter, Jekyll and Hyde, and it's because of the hitting, and it's because of the guys who either last year, you know, maybe was an anomaly, whether it's Alex Avila or even Bosch for the first half until he got hurt. So those guys haven't been able to reproduce what they did last year. And, you know, Cabrera isn't the problem. Fielder's, you know, been as advertised. Austin Jackson has fixed his swing and come back with a great year. And it's everybody else that they certainly can't do it together. You know, one will get hot for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's really hard. And it's not just the fans that are at wit's end. It's Jim Leland and everybody else in that organization. But, this is a tough stretch here. This 10-game road trip really might make, well, I think it's probably safe to say it could make or break their season because the White Sox four-game series is right in the middle of it.
How much do you think that their poor defense is played into it and the fact that they hit into, what, the league's most double plays?
Yeah,
I mean,
speed and the defense, you're right. No. Yeah, unearned runs, they're leading the league in unearned runs allowed, which is certainly hasn't helped the guys, you know, the guy in particular. And we knew this before the season.
Yeah.
We knew that this was going to be pretty awful or barely, you know, below average at best. And we also knew that the guy who might take the biggest lumps in that regard would be Rick Porcello because he's a guy who pitches the contact, a ground ball pitcher, and those ground balls certainly find a lot more holes here than they do elsewhere. And sure enough, I mean, the last, you know, he hasn't pitched terribly, but he certainly doesn't have the results to show for it. And then to make matters worse, the last four starts, I think it's the last four starts while he's been in the game, they have not scored a single run for him, which is just unfathomable with, you know, that payroll and that lineup and everything else. But, yeah, it's we knew the defense would be bad. We just figured, you know, they were going to slug their way
past it, and
coupled with the starting pitching, which the starting pitching of late has been what we thought it was going to be. You know, Scherzer has really come on, and Verlander is Verlander, and Fister, by the looks of it yesterday, looked like he's maybe going to get back. He's had those injuries that really sort of derailed him a couple times this year. But I still think the starting pitching is why they will win the division. We're running out of time.
We are. I'm starting to think that maybe they won't do it. I've been saying all along that I think they're going to get it done. But now I'm starting to turn that other way, that maybe they aren't going to get it done.
And if they don't, there really are no excuses, and there will have to be changes made. You know, obviously some changes are going to be made regardless, but, you know, Jim Leland at the top, if they don't make playoffs with that payroll and having been there now 7 years, maybe it is time for a change, and that will be obviously the hot topic here down the stretch if they really fade or fall behind. Because right now the wild card options don't look very good. It's division or bust, and some, you know, it's not certainly not a certainty, but that would appear to be the case, because there's a few teams still playing well ahead of them, and, you know, like I said, the Angels here is a big series because that's one of the teams that's right in front of them.
Yeah, well, let's talk about those Lions. I mean, they've got their big season opener coming up against St. Louis. How do you look at the Lions? Do they have a running game, and do they have defensive backs? I know they need both of those areas. Do they have enough running backs and defensive backs to help them out, or do they still need more?
Well, they're not going to get more at this point, at least not more that can really help them, and that's their – I think in the running back department, we definitely overstate the need for balance, and – in this league, it is a passing league, and it has gone, you know, that way for years, and, you know, steadily gone that way for years now. But they do have some issues with short yardage inefficiency. Last year was a big problem, and this year it still might be, whether it's the offensive line or the backs or both. But I think they can survive these first 2 weeks without Mecole Lachore, and then he will be back after his suspension in week 3. So it's certainly this week, I think they can get by with Kevin Smith as their starter and, you know, Joyce Bell and Keelan Williams behind him. But Lachore looked good in his last, you know, his first real dress rehearsal in that last preseason game, which doesn't matter much. But for them, it was a good sign. And they do think he will be their lead back and the guy that, you know, can fill that hole that they maybe didn't have last year when Jahvid Best went down. Best is still a complete, you know, mystery. There are people I talk to in the organization still have, you know, legitimate hope that he will play when he is eligible starting week 7. But who knows? You know, he's a Sidney Crosby kind of situation there where, you know, people in Pittsburgh dealt with this for years and still really are, is, you know, is he coming back? Well, it looks good, and then he's still on the shelf. So we'll see. But I think they can get by with that. Now this week they are going to be without two of their starters, and really their two best starters in the secondary. So I would expect maybe some points to be scored this week.
I think there will be.
Lewis Delmas is not back from his knee surgery, and Chris Houston, after that preseason injury, hasn't practiced yet and didn't practice today. So certainly probably is not going to be on the field Sunday, which that one doesn't appear to be too long-term, but both of those guys are really, you know, number one on the roster depth chart, and that's going to be an issue. Now, they're lucky in that St. Louis is a team that is in the spot they were in probably in 2009 with a complete roster overhaul, starting over, new coaching staff, and you know, with all that change, it's hard to believe that they're going to come out and win a road game in their first game. But I wouldn't be surprised if we have some high-scoring football on Sunday at Ford Field.
Yeah. So where are you going to be? Are you going to be there on Sunday? You going to be in Ann Arbor?
I will be in Ann Arbor on Saturday to see if that team can rebound against a service academy that will come in and probably give them fits And then I will be at Ford Field on Sunday. I won't be in Mount Pleasant for what should be a pretty fun scene. I don't know how good of a game it will be, but it should be a pretty entertaining scene because they are very excited up there for that game this weekend. But that's where I will be this weekend, football on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, what about Michigan? You know, because that's a tough – going against what the Air Force does, that's going to be a tough get following Alabama. How do you see them going in the second game?
Yeah, you know, and there's some injury concerns for Air Force after their opener, so I think both teams have some issues as they come limping out of the first game a little bit. But, you know, you'd be stunned if Michigan didn't get back to a little more of a, you know, what we saw last year, which was an offense that certainly could put up points and get some yards with Denard running around. And I assume Toussaint will play and probably maybe even start. So I would think that offense will look far better than it did against what is easily, to me, the best team in the country in Alabama. But yeah, I don't know how many times I've covered games. I used to cover Notre Dame football for us years ago, and I would go down there for these games when it was Navy or Air Force. And, you know, they just, you know, the discipline, they, you know, it's cliche, but they're disciplined. They don't make mistakes. And then when you throw in that triple option, it's something that's hard to prepare for, especially early in the year when you haven't faced it. And, you know, Michigan, you would think, would have some advantages in terms of what they see in practice from time to time the last few years. But, yeah, it's a tough, you know, rebounding from the kind of physical beating they took is one thing, but then to come back and face an opponent like that that's a bit quirky is no easy task either.
Yeah, why don't you think more teams use that attack? I mean, I know maybe it's just because of the size difference, or what? Why do you think that more teams don't use that?
It's hard to make it. Well, Michigan fans can relate to this. It's hard. You run your quarterback as often as that. You're probably not going to see him coming into the year. So it is hard to make that system work over the long haul. But you do it well. And like anything else in football, if you do it well and you execute, you've got a shot. And Air Force is one of those teams that over the years has certainly done that and had success with it. So I think it's fun to watch. I always like, you know, I like it because the games go faster, but I like it. I think it's just fun. That's one of the fun things about college football is you see some of these
different styles,
quirky systems or different styles, and you still, you don't see it as much, but you know, it's something unpredictable. And you know, you can come up with some great plays and some big plays, and suddenly the crowd is hushed and frantic. And I really think they will be a pretty nervous. And, you know, it's a home opener, everybody will be fired up. But I think everybody's a little nervous as to how they will rebound after what they saw last week.
Yes, well, and with Central Michigan, the first time they've ever had a game this big, you know, at Central in Mount Pleasant, with Michigan State going in there, this should be like you said, it's going to be an exciting game for these two. Michigan State has to be a little bit nervous because they know they're going to get their flat out best of Central Michigan.
Yeah, no, they are, and you know that first 10 minutes will probably decide quite a bit. I mean, if they come out too excited and too nervous and you know, commit a turnover or two.
Yep. Oh, you still? We lost him. Yep. So we'll have to get our good friend back. We just lost John Neal, so we're getting him back on the line. Sometimes those things happen in live radio. And give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. I'm Earl Robinson. The time is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. We want you to stay tuned for more sports talk after we're going to take a little short break right here on AM 870 WKAR. And let's Let's go back. We got John back on the line. John, okay, sorry about that. We got you. Got you back.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't remember when I got cut off. But, yeah, no, I think Saturday, you know, I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe otherwise in terms of Michigan State. I thought they would be the Big Ten champion when all is said and done. And I still think they're certainly the division champion. And Saturday will probably be another example of that, where Maxwell got the talent. He was anxious. He was a little jittery, probably, in that opener against Boise State. But that defense is going to give him plenty of time to get comfortable.
Yeah, to get comfortable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got to get, get really a little bit more familiar with the passing game that they have, and hopefully they'll get that together.
And the receivers let him down. I mean, yes. I thought all the receivers, really, not just the young guys, I thought let him down in that opener. Fowler had some plays earlier that he should have made, or, you know, I didn't actually like the effort on a couple of them. But between Sims as a sort of a safety net for him and maybe really a huge weapon as the season progresses, I mean, he certainly was in the opener. And those other guys will grow and get comfortable and improve. And so I think he will have some options there in that passing game. But with Le'Veon Bell, he's not going to need him. He might not need him, you know?
Yeah, he was very impressive in that first game in the opener.
Yeah, well, the message, you know, I mean, we all go back to spring ball when, you know, D'Antonio sort of fired a shot across the bow, you know, hey, don't get complacent.
Yeah.
The Le'Veon Bell, well, the message obviously was received based on the way he looked in that opener.
Yes, it was, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. We're talking sports soon. Talking with John Neal from the Detroit News, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. And, John, just a few more questions before we let you go. With the Lions, it looks like they're going to have a good year. Yes, their problem is that it looks like they're just going to give up a lot of points this year, doesn't it? I mean, if the other team comes in determined to pass, and we know now, no team, the Lions won't get a gimmies like they did last year. They're going to have to, every team's going to come in here thinking, hey, we got to play the Lions tough. You know, before that, it was always, yes, you just give a half effort against the Lions and you can come out with a win, but not anymore. You got to play the whole four quarters to beat the Lions.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's been the sort of the mantra this off season is. In the NFL, the turnaround is a two-part deal. You know, to get back to respectability is one thing, but then to go from good to great, and that's what they've been, you know, preaching from the top down all off season, is a huge step. And there's so many teams, we've seen so many teams that haven't been able to make that jump from, you know, just squeaking into the playoffs like they did last year and getting their feet wet to, you know, advancing the playoffs and becoming a perennial playoff team. And they certainly have the core and the, you know, young talent to be that, to be sort of like the Packers. I mean, they patterned themselves after that franchise in a lot of ways. But they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Everybody knows what they're capable of now. And everybody also knows, like you said, you know, those games early, four late fourth quarter big comebacks they had last year, then nobody's going to just let their guard down against that team and with that offense. But the defense, I think, I mean, we're maybe overly critical of the defense based on the way they finished last year, which might not be an accurate, you know, representation. Now, obviously, with the injuries early here, there are some huge question marks. The question marks just got bigger. But they were a playmaking defense that did what they aimed to do, which was to create havoc up front and create a lot of turnovers with pressure and sacks and interceptions, and they were scoring as a defense last year, that's the goal with that defense and the way they play that scheme. Now, when Delmas got hurt and Chris Houston was hobbled and Eric Wright was hobbled, they really struggled down the stretch, and you could see it. And then Marius Bavey actually was playing hurt towards the end of the year, and they just didn't have the depth, and, you know, they faded big time. I think that defensive line will be even better this year. And, you know, Nick Fairley is part of the reason, although he hasn't had the best of camps and certainly hasn't had the best of off seasons. So I think there's a potential there that front four can be even more dominant. and that's certainly the goal. So we will see if that's the case. And if that's the case, they, you know, they put some teams in some bad spots and get leads, then they can really start to tee off, and that's the goal. Now, you're right, the big plays, you know, could be their Achilles heel, especially early if Delmas is out of there and Houston is out of there, because that's speed and playmaking ability that is absent.
Okay. Got one caller for you, then we'll let you go. Hello, Mr. Tate. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Okay.
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, man. Thank you for bringing me on, Mr. Robinson. I just wanted to throw out just a couple things. You know, we sat there, and I was right there sitting right by you, Mr. Robinson. We were checking out that game, Michigan State and stuff like that. I think that, you know, with all the jitters coming in, a lot of people putting pressure on Andrew Maxwell from State and kind of saying, well, you know, he's, you know, not – he didn't perform the way he was expected to perform. I mean, you know, that was the first time I've ever seen him get snaps and, you know, more than two or three snaps or a couple snaps. So, I mean, granted, he's going to have some jitters, three turnovers in the first half. But going 11 for 17 in the second half for 185, for 185 yards, I don't think that was bad. I know that the turnovers are pretty bad. A couple times I've seen him actually throw those balls to some pretty good receivers or whatnot and put it right on the money, and the receivers weren't catching. One of those were Tony, I think, believe his name, first name is Tony, last name Lippitt. Tony Lippitt. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, we expected a bigger game from him. We didn't get that. The defense really held us down big time, which was also not a great game by Golston. So we got a couple of things that we need to work on as a team. I'm very, very impressed, though, with Benny Fowler. I think he's probably going to be maybe the best receiver that we have on the receiving corps for Michigan State. Definitely, but before anything else, we definitely got to keep our mouth closed a little bit and stop, you know, talking about those Wolverines. Just focus on, you know, the game at hand, the Central Michigan game. I think we're like 27.5. Now we're like 20.5 point spread. I thought that the 28 points was a little bit too much to cover, beating Central by four touchdowns in Mount Pleasant. I think that was a little bit too much, especially Notre Dame coming up shortly after. I think that that's one of the biggest things. Is I don't think that we'll lose necessarily to Central Michigan, but I think we're looking a little bit too far ahead to Notre Dame. Central Michigan could give us a much better game than we expect. Last but not least, and I'm going to hear what you guys have to say about it, whatever. I'll keep listening. I appreciate you having me on. But, you know, what does our future look like if we're relying on and granted, we know that Andrew Maxwell, he's going to get better and stuff like that, you know, as time goes on, leading all the way up to the more important games, which obviously Notre Dame, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Michigan. But how much can we afford to rely so much on Le'Veon Bell? Hey, guys, I was sitting right there with you, Mr. Robinson. We're sitting there and we're watching the game. We kept watching, and he's running for what? I think that was 44 carries or something for 210 yards. And that was like the first time that had been done since Javon Ringer in 2008. And we're sitting there tallying up all these stats. And we don't want to get this man hurt. What do we have to look forward to if we keep running him the way that we ran him on Friday? I'll keep listening. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you having me on, and you guys have a great remainder of the week.
Yeah, thank you. I think that Javon Ringer will probably run, Le'Veon Bell will probably run as much as Javon Ringer, because they're going to run him as much as he needs to. If he has to run 50 times a game or 40, they're going to run him, John. So I think he's going to be in for a lot of carries this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not going to be 44 carries a game or anything, you know, remotely close to that, though. And I think that's what we were talking about earlier a little bit is, you know, that's a great way to ease Andrew Maxwell into this is, you know, if that running game is as productive or anywhere close to as productive as it was against Boise here early in the season, that takes a whole lot of pressure off of Andrew Maxwell in terms of down and distance, score, and just, you know, just even leadership. You know, to have a guy like that as a sort of security blanket early on is perfect way to break him in. Now, that arm, though, you could see, you know, why everybody's as excited as they are. I mean, why he's, you know, came in, why he was unquestionably the starter. He's got the talent. And so that, I think that will grow, and I think we'll see a more balanced attack as the season progresses, because he's going to get more comfortable, his receiver is going to get little more experience, and I think that offense by the end of the year will look a lot different. But, yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with running the ball.
Yeah.
If you're churning out the kind of yardage, I mean, he'll be all right. Don't worry about Le'Veon, but he'll be all right. No,
exactly.
44 carries.
And we might see Larry Caper in there. He'll probably get a few more carries this week.
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, when you got a back that big who, you know, certainly conditioning wasn't a problem. You know, that was a hot day.
I mean,
we all remember that. And that was I think you almost have to worry a little more about the other team if you're throwing that 240 pounds at you 44 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough load to handle, and that's D'Antonio's idea of football right there, certainly.
Yep. Hey, John, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll get back together. Well, the next time we'll either have to talk a little bit more Tigers, or we'll have to talk Michigan and more Michigan State football, but it'll be interesting to see as the sports are winding, are beginning and winding down. Right here, the Tigers are winding down, and everybody else is sort of getting underway.
Yeah, it's a fun time of year, certainly.
It is. Hey, thanks a lot, John, and we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks, Earl. We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's John Neal from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR.
For decades, government regulations drove innovation in the car business. Now, new rules call for an average of better than 50 miles a gallon by 2025. But automakers are already moving on to better batteries, to new and lighter materials, and many of their customers are ready, too. I'm Neal Cohn in the changing car business. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Mostly sunny and a high today of 81 degrees. Tonight will be mostly clear and we're expecting a low of 55. Rain is likely tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and a high Friday of 78. Saturday will be partly sunny, we could get some rain, the high 65.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Got an email in, and the email says, which is a lot of you probably do agree with, this has to be the last season for Leland Tigers will not win a world championship under his management. There is a promising manager, managing talent in Kirk Gibson. Tigers should bring him back to Detroit. Well, I don't know if they'll be able to do that. He is under contract with Arizona, and yes, maybe they could break the contract and get him back if he wants the desire to come back. You know, he's pretty comfortable there, but they'll probably have to see if he even wants to come back. So that's another thing there. But that's the thing. If Leland doesn't win it, if Leland doesn't win this one, it'll be certainly be very problematic on him if he doesn't win. You know, I'm pretty sure, like everyone says, I don't think he'll be back either, whether it's on his own or whether he decides to retire, or you know if he wins, you know, of course he can come back if he wants to, and he may not want, even if he wins the pennant, he may not come back anyway. You know, there's a lot of talk that he may retire, win, lose, or draw after the season. We'll just have to wait and see how his fate will be decided after the season. If he doesn't win the pennant, he'll be gone, that's for sure. And let's see, we got to go to the phones, and hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Man, I'm looking forward to the Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, it should be a good one. It should be a lot of balls. It should be a lot of offense, for sure. It'd be a lot of offense that game.
I hope so. And I still believe, and I think I've mentioned this before, the Lions, okay, their running game is going to be a problem.
Yep.
But I really believe that special teams is an area that they need to address more, because, you know, if you get a good kickoff return or a good punt return and set up the short field, that's going to make that offense more effective.
Well, you got to have good people.
They've got to work with a long field all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to have good people running those punts and kickoffs.
Right, and they I forget that one guy that ran that 76-yard touchdown. I think it was the first preseason game.
That was probably Logan.
No, it was some guy I'd never heard of. It was like late in the game. Mm-hmm. It was their last touchdown they scored. The guy ran 76 yards. He started inside and then cut outside, and he was gone. You know.
Yeah.
He would be great on for a punt returner. Kevin something. Kevin, I forget his last name.
Smith.
But I think that if they can create a short field, also like their kicking game. You know, Hansen's getting older.
Yep.
And how long has he been in the league? 20-some-odd years?
Yeah, around 20 years. Yep, he's about 35, 36.
And I forget who they use as a backup, but he doesn't seem to have the leg that Hansen has, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be an area that if they can be consistent with that, that's going to just improve the whole look of their team. And as far as the Tigers, I think the most important series is going to be the series they play against Chicago. That's pretty much going to determine their season. I mean, they have to take 2 out of 3 from the Angels this weekend.
Yeah, they do.
Minimum. And then when they play Chicago, which they play them next week, I think, they've got to win 3 out of 4.
Yeah, that's...
And if they can do that and put themselves back in the driver's seat, then... You know, I think that they will win that division. But if they don't play, because they've got, 10 games on the road. Now, I don't know who they – I don't have a Braille schedule, so I don't know who they play after Chicago. But
Kansas City and Minnesota.
Okay, but these next 7 games, you know, are really going to tell the season, I think.
It will. I mean, they're going to have to play well. They're going to have to win. Like I said, they're going to have to win the majority of those games, the 2 out of 3.
Always a pleasure
LA.
Talking to you, man. I really do hope I get a chance to meet you in person. It's always a pleasure being on your show, and I appreciate you taking my call every time, buddy.
Okie dokie. Thank you. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
You bet.
Yeah, bye-bye. And that's a lot of sports. I mean, that's what the Tigers have to do. You know, that's what they got to do, Alex. They've got to win. They've got to win 2 out of 3 against the Angels, and they got to get 3 out of 4 from Chicago. I don't know if they can do it, but that's what they've got to do.
Sure, and besides the 3 out of 4, they also got to look at the weak teams that they're playing. They're playing the Indians. They got the Twins and the Royals within the last month or so. So those games, to me, are just as important as the Chicago White Sox games, too.
Yes, they are, and they will have to win those, but that's what they're faced with, beating the good teams, you know, and that's another thing. You have to beat good teams, to get to where you want to go. Sooner or later, you've got to beat the good teams, and you have to beat the poor teams too. No doubt, they've got to beat Kansas City and Minnesota. Those are the last 12 games of the year, so they've got to win the majority of those. They've got to win basically, win everybody, beat the series, everybody in every 3-game, 4-game series. They got to win at least 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. So they've got a tough road ahead of them, but they've been so inconsistent of hitting. That's why everyone's a little bit nervous and been a little bit on edge, because they've been such an inconsistent team. And it's hard to believe that after all these games that all of a sudden they can get it together and play well. Usually it doesn't happen. Usually you play the way you've been playing all year. And all year they've been an inconsistent team, and it looks like that's the way they're going to end up with an inconsistent team. On the football end of it, you know, it looks like the Lions, they've got a good chance to be a very good offensive team. They've got good players there, so they can be a good offensive team. The other teams can score too. It's just going to be a lot of points scored in the NFL this year, and the Lions are going to score a lot of them, and they're going to give up a lot of them as well. So we'll see that from them as well. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
One primary care doctor just outside Boston came up with a new rule: no new patients over 200 pounds. Many primary care doctors tell patients over and over what they already know. Eat right, exercise, don't smoke. I'm Neil Conan. Doctors, how do you get through to your patients? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's a good question. How do you get through to the patients? Yes, we should lose weight. Yes, you shouldn't be smoking. That's for sure. So how do you get through? How do you get through to you guys like you, Alex? Get through to young guys.
Hey, for losing weight, I'm just saying go to college and go to the IM building. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you can do when you're here. You can go to IM, and you know you don't have that. That's what discourages me. Every time I go in the building and I see all these young guys your age smoking, and I just with all the information out there, it's hard for me to understand why so many young people smoke.
Yeah, and besides for the fact that why they smoke, I think the bigger question is why do athletes smoke? I mean, athletes, they want to do this for a living. This affects their health. It's the same as having a singer smoke, because singer directly infects the vocal palates and the ranges. So I'd say the same thing applies to athletes, and yet so many athletes today still smoke, Earl.
Yeah, I don't see that many smoking, but maybe they are. I just haven't seen that many. I know I used to see what surprised me used to be so many baseball players used to smoke. I used to see a ton of baseball players smoking, and now they just chew the jaw. But other than that, I don't see too many as far as football players and basketball players smoking. But I did used to see a ton of baseball players smoking it. But I think that's changed a lot. So hopefully these athletes are getting wiser and taking better care of themselves. And it's only, you only got to do it for, say if you're a baseball player or a football player, you might have to, to take care of yourself and watch yourself for 8 years to 10 years. I mean, you should do it all the time, but if that's what you like, if you like smoking and drinking and that stuff, well, you need to stop doing it while you're up there, like you say, participating, because it can only hurt you. You should do it for permanently, but some people get those kind of habits and they stick to it. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Hey, Alex, I've got to ask you one thing, because I was going to bring up this topic today. It's an old topic. We haven't talked a lot about it.
Ask away.
But Lance Armstrong. Now, do you feel Lance Armstrong quit his fight? I talked to a lot of people, outside that still believe that Lance Armstrong, take PDAs and the drugs, and they think he shouldn't have stopped his fight. He should have kept the fight going. Found a lot more information that why he did quit the fight, more than likely, was that at least 10 of the people that rode a lot of those Stuart Francis with him, at least 7 were doing all those years. They were going to testify against him if he had let it go to trial against the USDA, against the American Drug Association. He decided to give it up. He didn't want to have all his team members, ex-team members, go up there and testify against him. And that's the thing. If you're going to have all those people, I mean, it probably was a wise decision by him to go on and not testify and not be dragged through the mud, which he would have been, because he wanted to try to clear his name, but he thought it would be too hard to do it then, so he just decided not to do it. So when you hear that, were you in the camp thought that Lance Armstrong should have held his ground, or were you one of those who thinks he should have kept going on with the fight?
You know what? I think he should have kept going on with the fight, but there's an article that came out recently about ex-fiance Sheryl Crow, and federal agents interviewed her, and they said that Sheryl Crow had to have been blind to have not known that Lance Armstrong was taking doping drugs like that. And it questions me, because there's always that cover-up aspect. There's always the possibility that someone behind the scenes is covering it up. And, if they really delved way into it, if there wasn't, that heavy baggage protecting Lance Armstrong, easily they could find something. I think it's out there that they could have found something. But if he quit and if he, since he resigned and since he's pretty much done, I think that was a wrong decision on his part, because it leads to more questioning. If he kept going, I think it would have been avoided a little bit more. But I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Earl, and the listeners as well. Feel free to call in.
Yeah, feel free to give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. I think Lance Armstrong took performance enhancing drugs all along. I think he did, and I think it was best for him that he'd gone and give it up, because then he more than likely he would have been exposed for what he'd been doing all these years, of taking drugs. And I think he would have gotten caught. That's another thing. I used to read so much about all these drugs. And one thing a few years ago that really caught my eye, and it's still this true to this way today. If you take performance enhancing drugs, if you take the right ones, it's a good chance you can beat it and you won't get caught. And that's the thing. So many of them take them and they don't get caught, and they can use them without getting caught. I mean, sometimes you almost have to be a bonehead to get caught using them. you really do, because so many people would take them and they can get away with them, whether it's in baseball or football. A lot of people still say that they do it in football, especially many of the linemen are still doing it. They do it to keep up their strength, keep up their tone, keep up their work habits. They say that still goes on effectively in the offensive linemen. So, you know, if they're still doing it that strongly and they're just not getting caught, because it is hard. If you got the right drugs and if you got a really good or two doctors, it's very hard to get caught doing the drugs. It really is. So you got to get them, and you got to have good doctors. I know Lance had some very good doctors. That's why he didn't get caught. He had some very good doctors helping him out. So that was very key to him. And a lot of other players. I know a lot of fans that, you know, you don't want to believe that about your athletes using drugs, but many of them, unfortunately, they do. I mean, they don't get caught a lot of times, but they do. They do use them, and it's easy. It's not easy. It's a little hard to beat the test. I shouldn't say it's easy to beat the test, but many athletes learn how to beat the test. And sometimes, if you take the wrong ones or at the wrong time, it's a way you can get caught. So that's the thing. Hopefully, you don't do it and you won't get caught. But that's the thing. You shouldn't do it at all. But so many athletes do take performance-enhancing drugs, and they didn't get caught. And, you know, and that's the thing. You can take them, and you can beat the rap. You can beat the challenge of getting caught using performance-enhancing drugs. And that's that same, Alex, but that's what happens. A lot of people, they know how to beat the test.
Oh, yeah, they do. And it comes to question to me, Earl, and this is something that I wonder now. What if, since there are so many scandals today with performance-enhancing drugs, what if performance-enhancing drugs were allowed and that most athletes took them, and then it depended on, you know, who really is going to actually perform? Because if everyone is on the same level, you know, to my aspect, you know, why the point of banning them if everyone's taking them anyways?
Well, you know, they banned them primarily because they do help you, perform better. And as we saw with Bonds and those other players that were using them, at least purported to use them, it helps make you perform better. So do you want artificially, or if you care about statistics, do you care about that? Do you care about whether the athletes are using drugs that help them perform better, or does that not matter? Some people it matters to, and I guess some it doesn't. But if you do it and you do take them, that's something you're going to have to put up with it with the other athletes if they're doing that and making them at least a better athlete. And of course, it also hurts you long run. That's another thing that's not good for your health. So taking the PEDs, performance enhancing drugs, that's hurting yourself. It's hurting you. It's going to hurt your legacy and hurt your life if trying to live if you take that for an extended period of time. And that's a big gamble. Yes, you make more money. Yes, you perform better and everything else. But boy, you're talking about cutting your life even shorter, your life expectancy even shorter, by using performance-enhancing drugs.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of performance-enhancing drugs and baseball, big news if you're a Lansing resident, if you're around the area. But we do have a caller, so I'm going to take that, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, because that's something, so many players, that have used it and gotten caught using them, they made a lot of money. Made a lot of money off of using performance-enhancing drugs. It helped get a lot of players a very good contract, and that's what it did. And that's the thing. Everything is so money-based. So, yes, you do that just because, you can help make yourself a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of that, though, in baseball, mm-hmm. Blue Jays third baseman Brett Lowry. This is actually news brought to our very own Scott Pohl.
Oh, okay.
Brett Lowry will join the Lansing Lugnuts on a rehab assignment tonight at Cooley. It's Thursday, so the game features $2 beers and soda specials. So that's definitely a good game to make it out to. And Earl, you've been here for a while. We've seen guys like Ryan Dempster, Mark Pryor. Some of these guys have rehabbed for the Lugnuts before. Now Brett Lowry, this guy, 16th round pick. He's hit consistently in the major leagues. Now he's here for a rehab assignment. So if you're in the area, you definitely want to make it out to the Lansing Lugnuts tonight because Blue Jays' Brett Lowry is in town.
Yes, and it's a playoff game, so that'll be good for them and for him. He'll be here for one of the Lugnuts playoff games. If they lose it, their season over. If they win it, then they'll go on and they'll play another one. But, yes, that's a big game for them. And Lowry, hopefully he can help them tonight and being here for a rehab assignment. So that'll be good. And hopefully he can perform well. That's the key. When you're on rehab assignment, you're fighting through an injury. Hopefully, that injury doesn't hurt him too badly and he'll be able to just come out and perform well. And that's another thing. So when we look at all these things, Alex, so where do you stand? I mean, does it really bother you about guys, or do you not care if guys use performance enhancing drugs? What's your stand on that?
So listen, I care. I care if an athlete who had an injury uses performance enhancing drugs to get back into his career. But I think what people need to realize is that performance enhancing drugs, when it comes to actual on-game performance, doesn't matter. I think what matters is if you have an injury, if you're coming back from a rehabilitation and you use the drugs, to get back, I see that's fine, but I don't think it contributes much to performance. I think that's all about the player. But I mean, there are many opinions on the issue. I mean, Earl, you have a different stand, and a lot of people do, around the nation. And I think it's an issue that will linger in the sports world for quite some time.
Oh,
I don't think
it will.
It's an immediate fix.
Right, it's not.
And feel free to call in, listeners. I think that, it's a pretty big issue that's probably, if you look at all sports, this is probably the issue that's in variety that's tackling most subjects right now.
Well, yes, because it's not going away. Like you say, it's still there for a while, and it's going to be around. It's going to be around performance-enhancing drugs. And if you use them, that's where I'll differ with you, because it does help the athletes perform. Most of them do perform better. I mean, I haven't seen too many that perform worse with the drug. They get better to some degree, whether they hit more home runs. I mean, there have been guys who hit a lot of home runs who never hit them before and like that. And there have been some guys hit better than what they used to hit for a better average. So it helps in some ways. It helps them in a lot of ways. If they're disciplined and if you really have good vision and you have good discipline, you can really hit like Barry Bonds did. He hit tremendously. And, and other guys like Rafael Palmeiro who benefited greatly from that. And so did, technically they said he didn't, Roger Clemens, but it's pretty safe to say that Roger Clemens probably did as well. So, with so many players out there that took advantage of it. They made a lot of money with it, and that was their goal. They made a lot of money with it. Some eventually they will make it. I think they'll make it into the Hall of Fame eventually. Don't know when, but I think eventually we'll see them make it into the Hall of Fame by then. So we'll see that. It's unfortunate that so many guys took the drug and took a chance, But hey, they wanted to make improve their bank account, and that's what they did. They improved their bank account, and you know, a lot of players did that. It makes me wonder if I was good enough. Would I have done that? I don't know. I might have, but you know, that's one of those tough questions to answer. You know, you can't answer it until you're in that situation. It's one of those. It's very easy for us to say, no, I wouldn't do it, or you wouldn't do it. It's easy for us to say that, but we won't know until we're actually in that situation and you're actually confronted with that issue of whether you should use the drugs or not. If you decide not to, it's, you know, you can have a lot of good reasons why you shouldn't. You can have a lot of good reasons why you should. But most people will do that because they want to get that big contract. They want to get those big money deals. But then when you get a big money, see, that's the thing, Alex, when you get those big money deals, you got to live up to them. And then you're almost stuck with them, taking them, because you got to live up to the contract. You got the contract because you performed very well, and then you've got to do that again, and also you know, to keep it going and to keep the money going and get it. So you know, it's a double edged sword. If you get it, you know, you're going to keep doing it so you can get that contract and live up to that contract. Hey, let's go back to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
They're kind of like any Fortune 500 company. You know, you got to make stockholders more money this year than you did last.
Yep.
And, you know, they used to say that Mickey Mantle, well, it was a well-known fact that he'd come to the playing field half-bagged half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his teammates would say he played better when he was drunk. His opposition say, yeah, he played better when he was drunk, but he played worse when he was hungover, so... You know, if you want to, that was his performance-enhancing drug. And a couple of years ago, I read a book called Cooperstown. You may have read it, Earl.
I think I read that, yeah.
And the author of the book made the case that down through the years, people have used many things to enhance their performance.
Yep.
So, you know...
Yeah, drugs has always been around, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a lot of other things to boot.
Mm-hmm.
Pine tar can enhance your performance.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I use, but of course, the performance enhancing drugs that we're talking about, the ones they use today, they're far worse than what they did with those pine tar and those kind of things.
I think it's just because the word drugs is attached to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. Like I say, people used to come to the park bagged. I don't know, and I don't know what I'd do if I were in one of those guys' position.
Right.
Where I had to produce more this year than I did last.
Yeah, that's it. If you have a good year, people are going to expect you to come back more the next year and perform even at the same level, and definitely at a higher level. They don't expect you to have a big fall off.
Just like that one percenter who's going to do shady things to make more money, so is the athlete if he has to.
Yep, that's for sure. And the owners want them to make more money, so that's why the owners, they'll turn a blind eye.
Condone it.
Yeah, and condone it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's my two cents worth. Have
okay.
A good weekend.
Hey, you too. Yep. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yes, there's a lot of different sides to it, you know, Alex, so... I guess we'll just have to watch it and see how it goes and how it comes out again. But, you know, there are a lot of different sides to it, and that's one of those things with PEDs. So we'll hear more about it and all the different athletes that use it and try to get away with it. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow on Friday. We'll have Drew Sharp. Jack Ebling will be with us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Come back and join us. Talk more college football tomorrow. Also talk a little bit more NFL football tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock. Right here on AM 870. And if you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We want you to make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.